I'm looking forward to this. Usually I give presentations to a much younger audience, my fourth and fifth grade science club students. So if you all would behave and don't try to hide under the chairs or throw your papers back and forth. Okay, a little bit of background. I am with the Vaccine Analytic Unit, which also known as the Anthrax, or formerly known as the Anthrax Vaccine Safety Team, though we're branching out. In 1998, the Department of Defense implemented a program to vaccinate everyone in the U.S. Armed Forces with anthrax vaccine. And in 2002, the National Immunization Program established our group, the Vaccine Analytic Unit, in order to monitor some of the adverse events, especially longer-term ones possibly related to AVA. Several years ago, they established this research agenda here. You can read it about it elsewhere if you want to. Paresthesia was selected as one of our priority topics. And based on a couple of things, first of all, they noticed that there were a lot of reports of paresthesia following anthrax vaccine. And also there was concern about the potential for paresthesia-related functional disability, which is not a good thing if you need to have troop readiness. You want your troops to be in good shape. What is paresthesia? Well, paresthesia is an abnormal sensation a person can experience in the presence or absence of tactile stimulation. Other words, numbness, tingling, burning, crawling, creeping, prickling, itching, etc. Incidence and prevalence are unknown. Often it goes unreported. For example, who here has ever had paresthesia? Who here has sought medical attention for it? Maybe. Different. Those of us lucky enough to have carpal tunnel syndrome and stuff, we do that. Etiology, altered nerve or nerve pathway functions. Case definition, none. Diagnosis, well, it's based on subjective report. The causes of paresthesia are numerous and fall into many different categories. Unfortunately, if you want to read this whole slide, too bad. But just about any symptom. This is a new word I learned. Obdormition basically means hands and feet falling asleep. So if you ever want to impress people at a cocktail party. Okay, so paresthesia and vaccines. Paresthesia is an adverse event that's been described in the literature in temporal association with a number of vaccines. This is a list of just a few of them. Usually, this has been described in the context of general reports that are looking at all adverse events following vaccines, particularly if it's a new vaccine. There have really been no systematic epidemiological studies looking at paresthesia post-vaccination, or at least none that we could find. Our objectives for this particular study were to get a better idea of what post-vaccination paresthesia means. Is it reported more often after some vaccines or others? Does it typically occur as an isolated event, or does it occur in the context of other conditions known to have paresthesia as a symptom? And also to reassess whether post-vaccination paresthesia is an appropriate topic for our research agenda, since there are many other priority topics that may actually be more important. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System is a U.S. national passive surveillance system for adverse events that occur after the administration of U.S. licensed vaccines. You'll see this slide a couple times today, I think. Co-sponsored by the CDC and FDA, provides a national mechanism by which adverse events following immunization can be reported, analyzed, and made available to the public. The data set is also available to the public, so other people can come in and look at it and analyze it and draw their own conclusions. We receive approximately 30,000 reports annually that can be submitted by anyone, patients, parents, providers, manufacturers, others. Every once in a while, we even get a hearsay report. I heard my friend who said, her friend who said. Reports can be submitted in a number of different ways. Reporting is mandated for certain events. For all other conditions, it's voluntary. Individuals are encouraged to report adverse events, especially serious ones, regardless of whether they think the vaccine actually caused the event. VAERS cannot be used to assess causality or to calculate incidence rates. And the reasons: there is an unknown extent of underreporting. For example, paresthesia. We all know that many of us would never even bother to bring it to attention. Also, there can be reporting bias. There are increased reporting rates for conditions that are more serious and unexpected, events that occur soon after vaccination, events surrounded by publicity, and reports related to litigation proceedings. Furthermore, there is no unvaccinated control group in VAERS. We don't have denominator data. There's variable quality of the data. A lot of the reports filed are incomplete. They have paresthesia listed as the only thing, for example. Adverse events may be unverified by a provider. And there are, you know, occasional entries or errors in data entry. They do occur sometimes. So one more time, VAERS cannot be used to measure incidence. It cannot be used to determine causality. VAERS is useful for a lot of other things: to detect rare, potentially serious adverse events that warrant controlled study. Classic example being intussusception following RotaShield, to ascertain increases, decreases in the occurrence of known events, identify potential risk factors, put together descriptive summaries, and also for hypothesis generation. So for this particular hypothesis generating study here, we use the following search parameters. We searched for non-duplicate reports, non-foreign reports, age 18 to, age 18 to 64 years, January 1st, 1990 through December 31st, 2008. We used the MedDRA term paresthesia, which actually is spelled like that. They use some of the European, I think, spellings. So part one, the descriptive data. For this particular group, we found approximately 88,000 reports for any adverse event. Approximately 4,000 of those had the MedDRA term for paresthesia. Paresthesia was the 19th most common out of approximately 2,200 adverse events reported in this group. So this is some demographic information. As you can see above, paresthesia was reported more often in women than in men. And most paresthesia reports, you know, disease onset, I have the wrong thing highlighted, but occurred within a short time period, within a week. Paresthesia has been reported after 39 different vaccines. If you have a favorite, it's probably up there. So for part two, we evaluated the data for disproportionate reporting. So we use a statistic called the proportional reporting ratio to see if there, to detect disproportionate reporting, okay? Are there elevated reporting rates for this vaccine compared to what we see for other vaccines? It's defined as below: the ratio of the proportion of reports for a particular adverse event to the proportion of that adverse event following other vaccines, and here is the equation for it. Nice 2x2 table there. Potential signal is defined as more than three cases, I think. PRR greater than 2, and the chi-square has to be greater than or equal to 4. For our top 10 vaccines, none of them met the criteria for signal except for Lyme vaccine, and hold that thought, I'm going to get back to it. So summary of this phase: only Lyme vaccine demonstrated a weak signal. None of the other 38 vaccines showed disproportionate reporting. Part three, we investigated the context in which paresthesia was reported. We reviewed all reports, though did not formally validate the diagnoses. Often that information just isn't available. We attempted to classify reports according to the type of underlying paresthesia-related event. Now, the following results, these are preliminary. We're still re-going over, rechecking the data. Most of the reports were, or actually the largest, the top couple categories were localized reactions, whether they be reactions where the text clearly says, it was inflammatory, like swelling, induration, redness, or reports where the paresthesia occurred in the injection limb, but no inflammation was actually noted in the report. Just because it wasn't in the report doesn't mean it wasn't there. Other common things were hypersensitivity. That could be anaphylaxis. That could just be allergic reaction. Guillain-Barré syndrome. Nonspecific symptoms like fever and chills and myalgia, dizziness, anxiety, presyncope, the whole, I stood up and I felt numb and tingly all over, and some other assorted things, Bell's palsy, multiple sclerosis, transverse myelitis, brachial neuritis, and a whole bunch of others that I don't have time to put on slides. So in summary, paresthesia was reported in conjunction with many different disease processes. The localized processes were the most common, such as the classic injection site reaction, or that series of reports localized to the injection arm without description of inflammation. Interesting, just kind of a summarization of these. We haven't gone through and quantified them yet. Some of these appear to be transient. Some of these appear to be chronic. Some appear to follow a particular nerve distribution, such as the radial or the ulnar or the median. In some of these reports, the provider clearly appeared to be concerned about direct nerve trauma, but we may not, you know, VAERS is limited. How well we'll be able to sort this out? Good question. Caveat, our search strategy was limited to the term paresthesia. For any given underlying condition, we would only have identified those who had paresthesia as a symptom. For example, we identified 317 people with Guillain-Barré who had the term paresthesia. There were 735 reports for Guillain-Barré. Also, more than 17,000 reports for injection site reaction, and our paresthesia group, maybe only about 1,000. Okay, about that Lyme disease signal, Goodman et al. Demonstrated that there was increased reporting to VAERS related to pending litigation for vaccine injury. Lyme vaccine was licensed in 1998. It was withdrawn in 2002 in the setting of negative media coverage and fears of vaccine side effects. Reports filed for Lyme disease went up after 2002, and 69.9% of the reports after 2002 were from lawyers. Most of them described individuals who had multiple chronic complaints, lists of nonspecific chronic medical conditions. When we recalculated the PRR restricting the period prior to 2002, the elevation went away. Take-home points: paresthesia is a very common adverse event. It does not appear to be disproportionately reported for any single vaccine except for Lyme disease, but we think that's probably the result of reporting bias. It's a symptom, not a disease. Multiple possible etiologies. Paresthesia following vaccination may in and of itself not be an appropriate study topic. Instead, it's more important to target any specific underlying causes of concern. And also, think about choosing appropriate study designs. The VIU, we typically do retrospective database studies. That might not be the best way to approach paresthesia. I'd like to thank the VIU team, the folks from VAERS, Karen Broder, and my family for dealing with me this week. Thank you.